So we discovered that the plan was deposited in us at the new birth. And that's something you need to understand, that it's already in you. The plan of God for your life is already in you, if you are indeed born again. So you need to leave that struggle alone. You don't have to try to chase that rabbit. But it is our responsibility to discover the plan deposited in us and then present that plan back unto God. See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus discovered the path he had to travel. Let's look at Isaiah 61. Let's look at Isaiah 61. And let's see what Jesus said about, the word said about Jesus first. And then Jesus said to himself, Isaiah 61. Okay. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Now Jesus had not even come into the earth when this was spoken concerning him. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. This is what Jesus read. Turn over to Luke. And we're going to see that that's what Jesus read, and he found the path that he was supposed to travel. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And we know the whole scenario here. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, this was right. Look at it. Didn't it say he went through the temptation? Now he's been tempted. Now going down, and we see all of that happening. And the devil wants him to bow down and worship him, but he says, I'm not gonna do that. And Jesus told him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil entered the temptation. Now look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, see, it was ordinary for Jesus to go to church. For all y'all people that think church is out of touch and not for today, we think online ministry is it. No, Jesus went to church. And he showed up because that was his custom. Not just a tradition, but that's who he was. Hallelujah. Jesus, and as it was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because now he's announcing the plan of God upon himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened to him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Why? He saw himself in the written word and what he was supposed to do. See, that's our job. If Jesus had to discover himself in the written word, you have to. Because the plan was there. See, the plan for Jesus was already written before he ever showed up. The plan was written. It was announced. That's what he would be doing. And Jesus said, well, I got to come in agreement with that. And he found it, and he announced it upon himself. He presented the plan back to the Father God. Said, this is who I am, because that's what you want me to be. I found it in the word. Woo, Jesus. So when you know the plan or the path, you know, then you realize there's a supply for the path. You begin to live differently. When you are mindful of the supply, why? Because we need the supply every day. It's not just for a moment. Your supply is for everyday living. Say everyday living. And what we do, we reduce the supply of God to just a few things. No, it's for your everyday living. You're always supposed to be mindful. Jesus was mindful of the supply. That's why he never cared about the stuff. Because he was always mindful of the supply. You must, because on the pathway to God's plan, there is always, say always, an abundance of supply. I'm going to give you an example that you can look at. My grandson, JJ, whenever he comes in this building, as soon as I come to that front door, if he's in this building, he goes, Manya. Then he says, the next word is office. That means let's go to the office. He knows there's a supply of cookies in the office. You know what? He's not even considering how I got to get it there, who going to bring it, none of that. He knows there's a supply. And he goes straight to the drawer. And I said, pick the one you want. He always picked the peanut butter. And then he expects me to give him the cookies. Look, his level of confidence is different from a child who does not know if cookies have been provided for them. He walks right into my office because he's confident that cookies are there. That's the way you should do. Because you understand there's a supply already provided for you. So you shouldn't hesitate to go to God when you got a need. It's already been provided. Woo. Look at Ephesians 2:10. That's our base scripture that we've been working from. Ephesians 2:10. And it's talking about that prearranged plan. And I want to read this from the classic Amplified version. For we are God's, Ephesians 2:10, are you there? For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. That means born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or prearranged, pre-planned beforehand for us. Taking paths, somebody say paths. Paths which he prepared ahead of time, say ahead of time. So if he did that for Jesus, why wouldn't he do that for you? He just spelled it out in Ephesians. He did a preparation ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life. Somebody said a good life. Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So are you telling me, Pastor Dana, look at Genesis 1:31. I'm going to give you a good one this morning. Look at Genesis 1:31. When you have it, say, I have it. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So you telling me, yes, God made everything good. There was not a man or woman with cancer, tumors, tuberculosis, diabetes, heart failures, or any other kind of sickness or disease. There were no shortages and no lack. There was no poverty. None of that was here. When God said it was very good, that was always his plan for you, the good life. Ooh, Jesus. That was always his plan. He would have never ended Genesis chapter 1 with this salutation. I'd see it as a saying. He said it was very good. Not just good, but very good. That means it was excellent. So God prearranged this excellent lifestyle for us. I know I'm traveling back over some things I taught, but you need to hear it again. Hallelujah. So the good life was already prearranged for you. Why are you settling? So the hard life, the worried life, the tormented life, the fearful life, the deprived life were never, say never, a part of God's plan. Man changed this because he got off the path. And you're going to struggle when you get off the path that God planned for you. I'm going to help you keep listening. Because his path will put us right in the middle of the good life. Now, you might start out with little, but the Bible says little becomes much. When God is involved in it, he keeps traveling you down the good path, and you're going to be right in the middle of the good life. Things start changing. Some of you all in this room, your life has changed so much since the day we first met you. It's like day and night. So you ask the question, what about when things happen and I think I'm in the will of God, okay? These are things that we added or decided to do without consulting the Holy Spirit. These sometimes they are residual, say residual, of who you used to be. And the Lord, and sometimes they come to bring distraction or to get you out of the path of the good life. You got to know the difference. You got to know that if I made a decision and I didn't involve the Holy Spirit, then I need to go back and ask the Holy Spirit to forgive me. Fix it. Show me what to do, because I know this is going to be something to take away my time with you. This is going to eat up something down the road. Because a lot of times we do things without consulting them because we can handle it at the moment. But you don't see what's down the road. But if you had asked the Holy Spirit, he'd have told you to wait. Because he got another plan for you. He got somebody lining up stuff that would give it to you. Woo, Jesus. Can you believe him for the stuff? Lord, help us, Jesus. We got to have it yesterday. That's our problem. We got everything yesterday. So what we see is opposition comes against us because a lot of stuff is residuals, or we made decisions without consulting the Holy Spirit. And these create distractions because all they're trying to do is get us off the path. So you got to deal with it. Say, I must deal with it. And you must deal with that distraction effectively and quickly. And the first thing you do is you ask for forgiveness for not asking, involving him in it. And then ask for his wisdom. And he's not trying to keep it from you. But when you drag your feet to come back and say, well, I'm going to try to handle a little bit longer for me. See, I think I can do it. And then you get deeper and deeper in the hole. The most important thing in your life is God's plan for you. You got to make that the priority. It's God's plan for you. Listen, young people, I wrote it this the way I wrote it. Seek to know his plan. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. Seek to know his plan. And it's no such thing as that God won't answer you. Because Luke 11, 9 and verse 10 says, and I say unto you, ask. Somebody say, ask. Yes. Jesus said, I'm giving you a promise. What else do you want? He said, if you ask, it shall be given unto you. If you seek me about it, you shall find it. If you knock, the door will be open unto you. I don't care how you approach him. He says, you're going to get an answer. Ooh, Jesus. For everyone, say everyone, that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall. That word shall means must. It must be open unto you when you do it in faith. So don't tell me God won't hear you. No, you're not ready to seek or ask or knock yet. Because you're not looking for the plan. But I'm encouraging the young people, get on it. Because I'm telling you, and you older people, I won't call you old, I'm going to say older people, you need to do the same thing because you need to know the plan of God for you. You say, how will I know I'm in his plan? He'll tell you. How do you know you're born? Because you're here. See? And then I want you, then he says, to protect it with everything that you are. You must learn to protect the anointing and the plan that God has put in your, for you. There are times you somebody going to come against that plan. This is why you can't say what God wants you to do to everybody. You got to stop spilling your guts on social media. And rob God of his plan for you. Social media can be a help, but then it can be a deterrent. It'll destroy not only you, but it'll destroy all the things that are attached to you. Don't sell the plan of God for a wrong relationship. Don't sell the plan of God for bad habits. Don't sell it to be in a wrong place because you want to hang out with somebody. And certainly don't sell it for money. Because none of them are a worthy exchange for the plan of God for you. Though none of them amount to the plan of God. Ooh. So many wish they could go back and recoup the years they wasted chasing a person, a thing, or a feeling. A lot of us wish we could do it all over again with what we know today. We were dumb back then. You know how that was. Thank God for his long suffering. Because we were dumb. Listen, the only fulfillment you and I will have in this life is to follow the prearranged plan God has for us. That's what real fulfillment is. It's not in what they show you on TV. This is why they're on so many pills. If you knew how much stuff the celebrities have to take just to be a celebrity, you would stop desiring their lifestyle because it's a sham. They're not happy at all. They are doped up and they don't know what's happening to them. And they'll do anything for a dollar because they're under the influence of the devil. But they're dissatisfied. Now, dissatisfaction comes when we move away from the plan of God. And as a result of being dissatisfied, we will blame others for our current conditions when we actually left the plan of God. Because blaming is part of dissatisfaction. I've never seen a dissatisfied person that didn't blame somebody for what happened to them. Mm-hmm. Don't get in that category. Now remember, God is not trying to hide the plan from you, but you must be more interested in the plan. So much to the point you are willing to lay aside any and everything that is not part of the plan. That's where we got to get to, people. I can remember the day I had to make that decision. That it, whatever it costs God, that's what I do. Because I want to be right with you. If don't nobody else like me, if you love me, and I'm right with you, I'm going to be all right. See, you got to get to where you can stand just you and God. And you not need a crutch. We try to get God to make an addendum to his plan. How many of y'all know what an addendum is? We try to, in the insurance company, they call them a rider, where you add something on to the policy, the original policy. That's called an addendum. And we're trying to get God to add an addendum to his original plan for us because we are emotionally tied to a person or a situation even though we know it's not good for us. We just still want them to be in our life. I can remember the time I almost married the wrong guy. I knew I didn't care nothing about him. Not the way he cared. When I said I didn't care nothing about him, I liked him as a person. He was really nice to me. I believe he'd have been a good provider, but he did not turn me on spiritually. You got to hear, this is a premarital class. Just be inserting this right here. Just say this part, A, B, C, whatever. You got to listen to the inward witness on the inside when you're trying to make decisions. Had I not listened to that, I'd have never been who I am today. And I had to be willing to be talked about. You know, it's a crime the way they treat the single people in the church or the unmarried people, because they make you feel like you must be a basket case because you're not married at 20 or 25. And some of them just want you to be heartbroken like them. But I had to listen to that inward witness. You mean the man was so much in love with me, when I told him no, his mama called me, begging me to marry him. And it was tempting. He was getting ready to buy a house, and he was capable financially. I'd have been set financially, but I'd have been messed up spiritually. I wouldn't have been happy and joyous. Thank God that I waited. See, this is why you got to learn to attend to your life with the Holy Spirit. You need to go back and listen. Pastor DJ has been teaching about the Holy Spirit. But you need to have a fellowship with him every day in and day out. Why? He's giving you the plan of God for you day by day. And if you can't hear him day by day, you can't hear the big moment. What we waiting for is the big moment. He trying to get you to get in there and just do something consistent, the same way every day. Can you get in that closet and pray 15 minutes? Can he count on you going in there every day and praying the same time? Or everybody can call you and interrupt your prayer time. That's why you can't hear the plan. You're not present. Because God lays his plan for us out clearly. And then he tells us to choose which path we would take. See, the choice has always been yours. And if you're struggling right now, it's because you chose it. Let me help you. God didn't give you that problem you got. Somebody lied to you and said the Lord teaching you something. Okay. Have he taught it to you yet? Maybe you missed a couple of classes. That's why you're still in it. Look at Joshua 24. See, God make no mistakes about his plan for you. And he doesn't have to go back and rewrite it because it's already been done from the foundation of the world. He knew what he wanted you to do and why he wanted you to do it. You need to discover it. But that means going in and spending time with the Holy Spirit. You just can't get around that. You can dance all you want to. You can be hyperactive. I don't care. But you're still not going to get the plan of God until you go spend time with the Holy Spirit. Because it's a day-by-day learning process. It's not going to be a bim-bam-boom event. You're going to have to learn day by day. You didn't learn math all in one sitting, in 1 hour. You learned it every day that you went to school. They had a plan set out. It's called a teacher's plan. And they had to prepare that plan and show every lesson they were going to teach. And each lesson was supposed to move you more closer to where they want you to go. But if you stay out of school 17 days out of 30 days, don't you think you missed something? Now, when I was in school, you missed so many days, they take you off the roll. I don't know what they do today, if they got a roll. They would send somebody to your house to see why you're not in school. And your parents better have a valid reason. And they better not catch you walking the street. when you're supposed to be in school. See, we leave the plan, not God. Are you there? Joshua 24, look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you're too busy to serve the Lord, he said, choose whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to do what? Serve the Lord. So the choice has always been ours. Proverbs 18:21, you don't have to turn it. It talks about death and life being in the power of your tongue. And you're going to eat whatever your mouth say. Woo. Why? Because God will not force us into his plan. Amen. He will not force you to be on the path. Have you ever wanted to go somewhere and you ask someone to go with you, but they really didn't want to go? How many know that by the time they got through grumbling and complaining, you wish you had left them where they were? They were a liability. And you said, man, I messed up asking them to come. Because they really don't want to be here. Now listen, point taken, God is smaller than all of us. That's why he would not force you to go where you are unwilling to go. You ought to worry about it. He never will force you to be on the right path. You're just going to have to struggle because the way of a transgressor is hard. You like living the hard life? Keep right on. God will let you live a hard life. You born again, you might make it to heaven, but you're going to go raggedy. Crazy. When you could go living the good life. Look at Isaiah 1:19. Okay. All right. I thought I had copied it in my things, but I didn't. Y'all read it out for me. What it say? What? Oh, you mean I can have a good life, but I got to be what? Wait a minute. Wait. He said willing and obedient. Now, willing is one thing and obedience another, so they're not the same thing. Willing means ready, eager, prepared to do. Oh, prepared to do, eager, ready. I'm ready to do it, Lord. I got my heart fixed on giving. So whenever you ask me to give, I'm ready. Because I've made my heart ready for giving. Man. Woo, he said, that's willing. Then he says, if you be willing and obedient, you can live the good life. We struggle because we're trying to live our own old life. So our getting on the right path is going to be because of our desire. Say desire. To honor God. Now desire means to yearn for, to crave for, to seek after, to see yourself with. So in other words, I'm yearning for his presence. And I'm not going to be satisfied till I'm in his presence. I go do my job. I know I got to go to work, but I'm waiting. I'm eager. Whew. I'm ready to get back in his presence. And the moment I can get in that little spot of mine. And if I can get a jump shot in the car, I'm going in the car. Because in my car, ain't nothing in my car that's going to make me want to do something different. I got the right kind of music in my car. So by the time I hit my front door, I can go straight into the presence of God. I just came out of the war zone, called my job. You need the presence of God. Woo. But that's going to come out of your desire. He's not going to make you have a desire for him. So quit praying that one. You got to stir that up. You got to decide. Say decide. That I'm going to chase after God. That, you know, just like you chase that man or chase that woman. You got to chase God because you want him. And you can't live without him. I tell my children sometimes, I be messing with my son. I say, you just want to smell her breath. You just want to be where his breath is. That's how hungry I am for God. Woo, Jesus. So then this is not a passing thought for the moment, but it must become a lifelong mission. Pursuing God must become a lifelong mission, not something you do here and there. All right, you learning? The plan is not automatic. If you believe whatever will be, say bad doctrine. Or you believe it happened for a reason. Say bad doctrine. Yes, it happened, but God is not the reason. God did not plan sickness, failure, heartache for you. It means you got off the plan of the good life. It should not take Christians as long as it's been taking us to experience the goodness of God. It's because somewhere we won't get on the path and stay on it. Although God has prepared it, the plan is not automatic. Here's my example. My cooking dinner for my children, I prearranged. Don't get no hopes up. I cook for me today. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I hear him go, groaning in here. Okay, let's go back to the example, girl. My cooking dinner for my children, I prearranged the dinner. I've already cooked the dinner, but they decide, they want a hot dog from the hot dog stand on the corner. Then they get food poisoning and have to go to the hospital. Was that part of the plan? Who playing that? See, y'all see, it was not the plan of God. It was the choice they made that took them away from that good food. They know I can cook, and I'm clean and cooking. When you go to so many places, you don't know what is in it and who's been handling it. And then they opened themselves up to the attack of the enemy. It's called sickness. They would have never experienced food poisoning had they come when I called them. You better hear what I'm saying. We have to take hold of God's plan and not let it go. How do I do that, Pastor Diana? By responding to his calling. Look at Matthew 20. He's calling you every day, but are you hearing him? If I call my children and I say, come to my house, they shouldn't have, well, what you want me over there for? What you want me to do something? See, you should come because I call. Because I don't call you without a purpose. I might have $1 million waiting on you. But if you got to quiz me and quiz me and quiz me, keep your hips on. It's called T-R-U-S-T. Because I don't call my kids just to be fraternized. It ain't no better. You know, I love them. We talk and stuff like that. But I don't get in their business and all that and calling them every day, trying to annoy them. I don't do stuff like that. Because I got things I'm doing. Are y'all at Matthew 20 yet? Minister Bond's trying to help me teach this morning. Matthew 20, look at verse 16. I want to read this from the Living Bible. And so it is that the last shall be first and the first last. As Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and he talked to them about what would happen to him when they arrived. I will be betrayed to the chief priests and other Jewish leaders, and they will condemn me to die. And they will hand me over to the Roman government, and I will be mocked and crucified, and the third day I will rise to life again. Then the mother of James and John, how many of y'all got mamas that think the children is all there in a bag of chips? Here come mama stepping in. I wonder where the daddy was. But anyway, mama always jumping up there. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, brought them to Jesus and respectfully asked a favor. And Jesus said, what's your request? She asked, in your kingdom, will you let my two sons sit on the two thrones next to you? Don't that sound like people? Mm-hmm. But Jesus told her, you don't know what you are asking. Then he turned to James and John and asked them, are you able to drink from the terrible cup I'm about to drink from? And they said, oh, yeah, we're able. See, they responded, but they didn't know what they were responding to. Jesus replied and says, you shall indeed drink from it, he told them. But I have no right to say who would sit on the thrones next to mine. Those places are already reserved for the persons my father select. See, that's why y'all, that's what they got for trying to be the top of the line instead of just being who they were designed to be. And Jesus said, no, you responded. Yeah, they responded, but they didn't know what they responded to. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. You need to go sit down and count up the cost. Do you really want to do this? Jesus always gives us ample opportunity to change your mind. Go down to verse. And see, you know, the other disciples, they got mad with him for even bringing that up with Jesus. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because they knew that was selfish. But Jesus calmed them down. Look at verse 26. But among you, it is quite different. Anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be your servant. Oops. You know that little beeping sign the garbage truck make when it's backing up? Beep, beep, beep. That's what's happening. Because everybody want to be somebody. And they're not responding correctly. But we must respond to the call if we're going to get on this good plan that he's prearranged for us. He says, verse 27, and if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. Oops. He readjusting all their attitudes. Look at verse 28. Your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So he says, you got to be like me. If you're going to be all that, you got to be like me. Respond to the correct calling, Jesus was telling him, in essence. Look at Matthew 22, verse 14. Very familiar setting. For many are called. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Because only a few show up. Only a few answer the call. He's calling you right now. Those listening online, he's calling you right now, trying to get you into a right union with him. Will you answer? Or are you going to choose to do something else? Because it's still your choice. Look at John 6:37. I'll be closing in just a moment. John 6:37. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you for your plan, Lord. Hallelujah. When you have it, say, I have it. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I read it again. All that the Father giveth to me, that means you're going to find time to go spend with Jesus, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, say no wise, say no wise, cast out. Oh, Jesus. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will. This Jesus talking, y'all. But the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which he have sent me, that of all which he have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, this is the will of God for you, that you not be lost. That's why God sent him, that you not be lost. Oh, Jesus. He says, but you got to choose that. So since the good life is on the path that God has planned for us, what do you think the devil is going to try to do? The devil will send distractions, people, circumstances to keep you wrestling in your emotions, whether or not if you should let someone or something go. The devil will use pride and embarrassment to keep you away from the right path. He'll take your failure and then beat you down with condemnation and embarrassment when you just need to run to God, snotty nose and all, because he's waiting on you. The devil knows something. The devil knows that pride is what got him kicked out of heaven. He got kicked right out of the plan of God, and he wants the same thing for you. He is not hoping you do something better. No, your end, if you follow the devil, your end going to be the same end he has, spending eternally in hell. So you must put your pride and embarrassment, your feelings, under arrest. Lock them up and tell them they're not going to control you. Ask God to forgive you, then get back on the right path. And then quit living in your past failures. Why? It will alter, say alter, your view as to where God needs you now. This is why you can't keep living in the past, dragging that mess like a baby wearing a dirty diaper. You ever seen a child when they bomb on themselves? They can't even walk straight. They walk like this. They toddling. Because they're loaded. They weighed it down. That's the way you look when you keep living in the past. You're weighted down with garbage. Take the dirty diaper off and let God clean you up. It's all right. It's all right. He still loves you. Get back on the path. Therefore, in closing, you and I must make sure that we want God's plan more than any person, distraction, or temptation. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.